step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, Performance 375. I am Nicole Shiro with our guest co-host, Mr. Nick Mayo. You're listening to KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 and KOOP.org. Each week we take a look at theater from many angles. If it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up.
Wednesday, August 24th, 2016. Today we have on the theater Capital T Theater here with their production of Hand to God. Not just that, it's Fall Membership Drive starting today. And of course, we'll have lively discussions including the news and views from the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Singapore, and beyond, everywhere. Stay with us.
And chatting sound of money. Here's hoping I'll keep saying my
Charlie, do you like the sound of money?
I do. I love that jingle jangle. I'm waiting to hear more of it.
Well, I played that song today because it's Membership Drive. And you're here. Could you tell folks a little bit about what this Membership Drive is if they haven't been listening to the station today?
Well, I can certainly do that. Twice a year, we come to you, our listeners, to help us out. You're our biggest source.
How about that perk, Charlie?
I'm waiting to hear it.
It's a magical hour on Offstage and On the Air.
Yes, speaking of perk, my ears are perked. I'm waiting, yes.
Nick's anxiously writing and awaiting.
Horrified.
well, we're gonna keep talking more about that membership drive and keep reminding folks of how they can make a difference and call in and give to KOOP.org. So, thank you. I have to say thank you also to Kim for another wonderful hour on the International Folk Bazaar. I love listening to his show. There's always some awesome music on there.
Great John Sebastian all the way through today. I loved it too.
John Sebastian got everyone very excited today. He's coming to the One World Theater also.
That's right.
Very soon. So I should say no backstage at Offstage this week because we are having the membership drive. We are not going to be doing that part of the podcast segment. So if you're listening and you're waiting for it, it's not going to happen. You're just going to be sitting there. Lisa, we're going to do this weather here for you today. It is still hot and sunny, although it's not raining out. I'm not super wet and
it's
miserable.
Not.
And I feel like I haven't been able to get that chill out of my bone.
I know, but it's just a reasonable 90 in August.
Is it really just
90?
I thought
degrees.
It was in the hundreds.
No, it's only 90 degrees in August in Texas, so something's going right.
Yeah, that's so bizarre, so bizarre. Well, I'm going to introduce our guests here right now. And you know, if y'all want to pull those microphones close to you, because you're more than welcome to sit down and just hold them by the bar. As Lisa likes to say, we like to show how the sausage is made here on Offstage and On the Air. I'm going to introduce our guests here today. Please feel free to join in with us during the show. Mr. Mark Pickle, one artistic director and director of Hand to God and artistic director of Capital T Theater.
Pickell.
Did I say Pickle?
That's
okay. Sorry. I know it, but I knew it's Pickell. You know what? Me too. I guess those are the good days, right? Chase Brewer, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
One star of the Hand to God, man with a crazy puppet.
Yeah.
So, yes, I can't wait to talk about that later on here in the show. So we're gonna talk a little bit of news. Lisa had me laughing because Lisa sent me some news, and she was like, Nicole, there's a lot of crime on Broadway. I don't know. You don't normally associate crime, Broadway, crime. So today we have a new segment called Lots of Theater Crime.
I was so excited to do that.
You did it so well.
Just to let you know, I was cracking myself up. Oh. So, starting here on this crime segment, we've been talking about this one for a long time. The musical Rebecca and the Michigas that has happened off on what's going on. All in all, the publicist wrote an anonymous letter basically calling out the investors for all of the embezzling and fake money and this and that. Well, he broke the law, even though he tried to do a good thing. And they have decided the case against the press agent will go to trial. Not the man who embezzled the money, but the man, the man who just tried to do the good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So his, it says the investor whose contract included a confidentiality clause, that's what got him. Isn't that funny? So what is funny is the investor had a confidentiality clause mm-hmm. besides the publicist, but the investor is not in trouble. The investor pulled out of the production and took all the funds necessary to get the show started, but he's not in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Totally, totally crazy. So this final cancellation of this show was what? Weren't they in rehearsals?
They were
in rehearsals.
It was
a week into rehearsals or that week they had just started?
Actors, stage managers, designers turned down other jobs, were already up and going.
Well, first of all, it was a musical with fire.
Who doesn't love fire?
Who doesn't love fire on the stage? Anything with a fake blood, a blood budget, a water budget, and a fire budget.
And throwing dogs. It's I'm sold.
Good time. And it could be awful, but like it's still a good time. Bad show, great time.
A lot of people, you know, were really affected by this. So it's such a bad move.
And here's a lovely picture of the magical staircase that caught on fire, that lovely grand staircase. I had some great fire images from one of the kajillion runs they did.
I just think it's also like from Broadway is so slow in the summer at this time of year anyway, so it's slow news day. They're bringing up Rebecca.
Well, $12 million, it was supposed to be $12 million. I love everything unraveled in 2012. This is the greatest title. Publicist who couldn't keep quiet faces a $300 million trial over Rebecca. So they lost $12 million on the show, but yet they're going after this publicist for $300 million.
Mm.
I don't know. As personally, I am a publicist. So that's a no-no. Confidentiality is a no-no, but you know, in some senses, this breaks my heart that this poor man is like stuck out to dry all by himself, and everyone else gets away with these shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
Was it civil? Was it a civil?
Oh no,
lawsuit?
He wrote like
or
a
criminal.
Oh, I believe it's criminal.
Criminal.
Oh wow.
I love that the attorney for the producer said in an interview that the ruling affirms that Thibodeau was in breach of contract when he sent emails to the anonymous investor, a charge he was trying to get thrown out. He emailed other investors anonymously saying, hey, I want you to know, because he in the bottom of his stomach knew he was trying to do the right thing. He had some ethics, but it wasn't really, again,
on the confidentiality.
You know, as I was saying out in the lobby, just because you're a defense lawyer and your client has told you he's guilty, you can't walk out there and go, my client's guilty. Like, you know, it's part of the rule of the game for what you do. So, I don't know. But we'll keep talking about it and staying tuned. And Lisa and I keep touching back on Rebecca all the time. And you know what? If you want to call in to co-op right now at 512-472-5667, you can help make a donation or be a sustainer to be able to come back and listen to these wonderful things like the saga of Rebecca and, crime on Broadway. Where else do you hear about crime on Broadway?
Definitely Coloring Outside the Lines.
See?
Yes.
That's what we do here. We're a color outside the lines kind of people. So second crime. This one's another crazy one. Broadway dancer admits to killing his boyfriend. Did it in a Facebook post. okay.
Right.
Hello. And not just some, he was the dance captain of Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark. I mean, this is Marcus Bellamy was, what else shows Marcus was in? He was in like four or five other shows.
I know he did a lot of Julie Taymor's work. I think he was in Across the Universe and.
I saw him in something else and now I'm having Tarzan.
Tarzan.
Wouldn't Taymor do that one too?
No.
No, it wasn't. No. But it was some of the people that she worked with, I think, on Lion King. He was in something else. He was in the TV show Smash, mm-hmm. and I think he did a few of Julie Taymor's movies. But man, he wrote on his Facebook, "Forgive me, I did it for love. I did it because I love you. He told me love and hate are the same emotion." Then went on and said, "I'm God. I give life and I can take it away." First, I was like, "This is awful." Sadly, it's a really sad situation because when you after they indicted him. And you really start to see what's going on with this guy. There's a lot of mental health issues that weren't addressed. And that's a really sad state of affairs. I mean, he was going on about Trump a few months ago, saying that he's going to die soon and talking about Trump's death. Like they've gone back further in it since the court case. It's kind of unraveling to be a little sad. But 32 years old and his poor partner, 27. I mean, that's so young. That's like.
But you touched on something good. Mental health is a really big, important topic in our society right now, and this is a prime example of mental health issues.
Yeah, I mean, this is a mental health issue. This definitely this is depressing. So he hit him in the head. It was not great. They did get him to the hospital. Sadly, he passed away. But he wrote all this stuff on Facebook. Again, though, here's what I don't get with people committing crimes on Facebook. No one ever sees it on Facebook and then calls and says, "I see this person doing a crime on Facebook." Like, I've never heard anyone call to say, "I saw it on Facebook, but I called it in." Right? I mean, if I saw that crazy, I'd be like, "Oh my gosh." So, my third crime story is kind of funny. Because Lisa and I have talked about it, and the man's name has slipped my mind, the show's name has slipped my mind, the star's name has slipped my mind, and then I couldn't find the article. So here's my lots of theater crime number three. Dude was busted for selling mystical shares for a show that was going to star some famous lady that was going to be at the Booth Theater and then film for Netflix.
The end.
But if you call 512-472-5667... and become a sustainer, make a donation, support the station, you can hear quirky things like this and find out the answer another week on who the dude is, what the mythical share of what show,
and what
who the actress was, and what happened.
So it's time for those inquiring minds to get on the phone, 512-472-5667 or koop.org. We need your support now.
And then you know why? Because you're going to get great segments like this.
Crime on Broadway.
Crime on Broadway. That ended my crime with Broadway section. I don't know. I just felt like there's never that much crazy that we needed some a Law and Order moment. And I almost like went with the whole theme song. Dun, 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 dun. Got me a little excited there. After this made me laugh that there was still kind of more Rebecca news. So now, and I they don't say which name, so is it the same Rebecca producer?
Who's producing the...
Rebecca, the title's great. Rebecca producer exhumes Exorcist in the UK with an eye towards Broadway.
That's just not right.
It's just so weird. Well, this was the version that Brooke Shields was in mm-hmm. when they did this. It was out in L.A. and it was probably like, it was like a year ago or so. Got some really great. Brooke Shields, Malcolm McDowell is ready to sign on as Father Marin. Mm. Right. Good stuff. He was about to sign on. They pulled the plug when it went to Broadway. Now they're saying that they're going to go and bring it out into England. It's supposed to have a premiere in October 21st, but yet there's no casting.
Mm-mm.
I don't know. That's
pretty soon.
Yeah, that's like way pretty soon. That's like right around the corner. And you would think they'd have all sorts of casts. I don't know. Brooke Shields got some really great notices for it. I didn't print the creepy image that was with Brooke, although this is a pretty creepy image. But it's producer Ben Specker. Sprecher? S-P-R-E-C-H. I look at you like you should know every single person. I just look at you, Nick. Like, you know everyone, don't you? But you do, though. That's what's so funny. I don't know. They said it's West time. The producer ushered the vampire thriller. They're working with another producer that did the vampire thriller, Let the Right One In. Let the Right One In. Yeah.
This sounds like a mess.
I don't know. It sounds like a mess now that it's going to the UK, but it didn't seem like such a hot mess when it was hanging around here.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. It's not anything to do with the UK, because, hello, they did Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and that's finally coming
it
here.
It is coming in.
With
is
one
that, is that
Christian Borle.
That's this fall.
Playing Wonka.
I saw it there. It was really good.
Did you see it?
Yeah,
you
was, did? I went in with very low expectations. I took my kids, and I just thought it'd be kind of an old tire they brought back out, but it was really well
it
done.
From what I saw from stills and video, I'm fascinated that you saw it. You went to the Meunier and saw it all. Meunier. Yes. What is it? Meunier, right? I always say Meunier, Meunier. It's like the touchy.
It's
touche.
it's
like you say words incorrectly on purpose and you know it, but you just can't help it.
No, it was great.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited about this show. I'm excited. There's a lot of cool things coming in the fall.
I wonder how, like, is the humor going to translate? Well, you know, not everything translates from the English humor with American and how...
I think it will.
I think Matilda did really well, and yeah. I feel like this Charlie has that dark Roald Dahl feeling to it also. Oh, that's exciting, Mark. Yeah. I'm so glad you saw that.
They updated it. I mean, it's updated. It's current, you know, with teens on cell phones. And, you know, they did a good job of mixing kind of the old story that we're used to that I grew up with you know,
the
Gene,
magic of
Gene. What's
Wilder.
His name? Wilder.
Wilder, Wilder, yeah.
It's a good mix between the two. It wasn't like a break from it. So I thought it's really good and very creative dancing choreography. And
it looked like it. Yeah. And Christian Borle is kind of crazy. I mean, he can be so sickening candy sweet and then he can be just like crazy-licious, like bananas off his rocker. So he would be an interesting Wonka.
I think it'd be great. I think it'd be really great. He's in such a cool place in his career where he's kind of like you've watched him build to this place where he can let his quirks out now, where he was that leading, the strange leading man. And now it's been cool to watch him grow.
Well, I want to know more. We're getting here on time. We want to make sure we talk to folks. Okay, I'm going to go quickly through this stuff. So there's a documentary debuting at the New York Film Festival about Mary Lee, We Roll Along.
Hmm.
Did you know they even filmed it when they actually did Mary Lee, We Roll Along? I guess, you know, they film everything. So, but 1981, it's a whole documentary. Hmm. They've been holding on to this bad boy forever. It was, you know, do you know how long Mary Lee, We Roll Along ran for?
No.
Only 14 performances.
That's wow. So strange.
Sondheim, Esteban had a show that only ran 14. Isn't that nuts?
Such a good show too.
I know. God, the music is, apparently Sondheim is expected to attend the screening, but the date he's attending is to be announced. Ooh, thank you, Variety. So the film festival is going to run September 30th through October 16th, and they're going to actually premiere this thing. Speaking of Sondheim, he did a private secret reading of a brand new show and threw everyone off their game this week. No one knew Esteban had another musical.
Mm-hmm.
It's about Louis Brunel, the filmmaker. Apparently completely different in the way it's set up, the way his narrative, the way everything goes with his show. It's totally non-Sondheim-like. It's all over, back, forth. But everyone has walked out saying it's some of the most beautiful music they have ever heard him do so far. And I'm like, interesting. Because that's a pretty big statement with one Esteban Sondheim. So I'm looking forward to finding out more about that documentary. Also on Hamilton... is coming out. It's going to be, you can see it in Lincoln Center on October 1st, but then it's going to be on PBS, that behind the scenes series that they do later on in the fall. There's no exact air date for it. And then they listed the five shows. I got the five shows you can't miss for Broadway this fall. I laughed really hard because I was like, well, of course that's on there. Oh, I can't get into my computer in here. Dear Evan Hansen was one.
Yay.
And Lisa, myself, we've all talked about that one for a few times. I cannot think of the name of this new one, and I'm hoping I can pull this up here because this show sounds fascinating to me. It's called The Encounter. And apparently it's coming from the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. So, and Edinburgh does some cool stuff, but it's a play you see with your ears and they give you headsets. So there is a, you wear headphones and you're enveloped within the mind-bending journey of National Geographic photographer Lauren McIntyre's 1969 expedition into the depths of the Amazon, and it tests the limits of the human consciousness.
Ooh.
So the pictures, it's groundbreaking sound design, aerial effects, use headphones, of course, the clay. This just sounded so cool. Opens, begins previews of the 20th. This one's number one on my radar. We've talked about this a few times. Holland's new show with front everyone page. Else, the front page. I mean, Robert Morris, Nathan Lays, Jefferson May, Sherry Renee Scott. Need I go on? OMG. The Groves. The Groves show got in here.
Natasha,
I love Jonathan
Pierre.
Groban. Who doesn't want to call him the Groves? Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet 1812. That was another one. This show I don't know as much. It makes me laugh. In Transit, the new musical.
I don't know much about it.
It's the old school transit metro cards for the... it was seen off Broadway. It has... what's her name? The Oscar winner who wrote Frozen, Christine Anderson Lopez, one of the writers. Mm-hmm. Let It Go, that lady. Kathleen Marshall is part of it. I can't really figure it out. It's the rhythms and lives of 11 New Yorkers intertwine as they ride the subway. I don't know, but apparently it's like the thing to watch. So I we'll figure that one out. And then this one, even though it has everyone in it, and it's not because it's Chekhov. I like Chekhov, but The Present, Chekhov's lost final play. But they have everyone and their mother, Kate Blanchett, and a whole bunch of other people are in this bad boy opening December 17th. So those were the top choices. And I was kind of like, oh, hey, those are a few good ones. They also announced BroadwayCom's date, January 27th and 29th.
So, Nicole, I've got just two real quick off-Broadway choices for the fall.
Okay.
First is Layover at Second Stage. It's a play by Leslie Headlin, directed by Trip Coleman. Pretty exciting play. And then All the Ways to Say I Love You, a new Neil LaBute play with Judith Light.
Yeah, I was about to say, once you started talking about this, I had my hands in the air like my Italian was going, I know.
I feel like we have to always throw love to our off-Broadway community and all the amazing
Absolutely.
Work that's being
only
done.
Only difference, it's not the quality, it's the size of the theater, folks. That is the only difference between them. But you know what? I'm hoping that we're going to get a phone call just like this in a moment.
Money, 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 money. Can you use any money today?
People say, Miss Cuna, what's that? There have been some famous graduates of Miss Cuna High School. The gentleman who wrote the fabulous book, Banicula. But
I love Banicula.
I really do. But I cannot think of the actor's name. He played George in North and South. But most of our Olympic champions, when it comes to wrestling, all graduate from Niskayuna. There's a lot of Olympic champions from Niskayuna. Speaking of Olympics, I have already booked and started planning my trip to Japan. Those robots came out for the closing ceremony, and I was sold. Just so you know. But I am also, for people who don't know, probably our listeners do, I'm Japanese, trapped in an Italian-Irish body. So I got a little probably more excited than most people when the robots rolled out. But nope, already started a family trip. Did you know you cannot purchase your plane tickets that far in advance online? You have to call the airline. The web does not set up for 2020, folks.
That's so funny. That's weird.
But Abunai! Shiro is coming to Tokyo. Sorry, I love the Olympics. I love Tokyo. So I'm quickly going to Chase. I'm going to give you a task. Could you give me a number between 2 and 14?
7.
Oh, is there a magical number that you reason why you like 7?
Oh, no. It's just one of my favorite numbers.
Okay.
So how do you ask?
Well,
Let's see what that magical number 7 is.
Hi, I'm Ben Main with the cast of South Pacific, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby, Austin 91.7 FM.
Now, Nick, you were in South Pacific on Broadway. Did you?
I was.
Ben was on the tour. Do you know Ben?
We didn't cross paths. I was in the company for 3 years at Lincoln Center, and then I went on the tour for 5 weeks as an emergency replacement, but I didn't know Ben.
That's so
Hi,
fun.
Ben, I would have been one of your CBs/Billis.
You would have. You would have sang about the mangoes and the bananas.
I would have sung about mangoes and bananas and girls in swimsuits.
That's hilarious.
That's
you just
so funny.
Perked up. I know that was funny. You what? Well, how about that? We just
good
took a little stroll down the
way to go, Chase.
Good choice there. So let's quickly reintroduce you folks. Give just the quick local stuff, and then let's get down and talk to you guys about Hand to God. Does that sound good?
Love
That's
it.
Great. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So I have some quick my quick local stuff really quick. Sky Candy, their next show they're doing is Agent Andromeda, the Orion Crusade. But before that, they're doing this like fundraising event, and they're having a showing of Barbarella.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
First of all, just want to let everyone know, Lisa's going to say she wasn't there, but there was 8 of us in a room, and she was there. We watched Barbarella last 4th of July, because nothing says the 4th of July like an evening
more
of Barbarella.
Couldn't agree more.
And it was really good. I forget how bad and how awfully awesome it is. So if you want to experience Barbarella, Sky Candy is having their Barbarella event. They're doing it with the Alamo, skycandytheater.com. It's also the last 2 weekends of Mary Poppins. Speaking of step in time. So she's flying out, folks. I love this show. I'm so sorry. It's a lot of fun and all the music's going on. So last 2 weekends, but speaking of Poppins and the Zach, the next show they're doing is Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. And they're actually going to be, Priscilla is having a giant bus. Zach and Visa got together and got a giant bus, and they're in the Pride Parade.
Oh,
so Priscilla is in the Pride Parade. The whole, I mean, that's just so cool, which is this weekend. It's Austin Pride. There's a lot of folks, a lot of things going on. AustinPride.org. There's a lot of festivities happening with the culmination of the actual parade this weekend. So you can find more information on that. There's also the 1 Minute Play Festival happening at Austin Playhouse. For more information, you can visit scriptworks.org. And I know you had a pick, Mr. Nick.
Silence the Musical.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, it's just so good. It's so bad, it's so good. So
we love that Mike McKelvey. We love that Dr. Mista. Love Silence the Musical. I mean, how do you not want to,
Yep, that's Austin Playhouse.
So
just doing Silence the Musical. A lot of fun. You want to go laugh? Don't take your kids.
No, it's definitely not a kids show. Today in theater history, I actually was kind of like, oh, it was a boring day. And then I read really quick and I went, oh, that's interesting. Guys, I don't remember this, but 1986, there was a revival of the Royal Shakespeare Company's acclaimed 8.5-hour production of The Life and Adventures of Nicholas Nickleby.
Ooh.
Trevor Nunn directed it, and John Carrot. It was a co-directed. It was at the Broadhurst. Mm-hmm. Hugh left his imprint at the Broadhurst for me. It did not catch on with the audiences and only played 29 performances. I don't know. It was 8.5 hours.
But it also still is so many people's favorite theatrical experience they've ever seen.
While we were answering phones earlier, and answering phones, that would be if you call 512-472-5667, where you could make
call in
right now.
We really appreciate
and,
it.
Make a donation. Well, I guess, you know, the other today. Oh, there was one more thing in today in theater history I actually kind of found interesting. It had to do with the Phantom of the Opera, but this was very different. 2008, they actually closed the Phantom of the Opera for 4 days. And you're like, what? Because you don't really normally close a Broadway show. They upgraded the entire sound system.
Hey.
Which I thought, you know, it's a very unprecedented step there. It was to quote, as Andrew Lloyd Webber says, quote, to bring the production sound design technology into the 21st century. So technicians invaded the Phantom's lair and upgraded the sound system. That's kind of cool.
That is cool.
And power to them for taking that into account and doing that, because that was, what, the longest running musical is it mm-hmm. still is, or I don't know. When it surpassed a Chorus Line, I stopped paying attention and got upset. So there's only one singular sensation in my mind. Birthdays: James William Wallach, 1795. Don't know the man, but I feel like I do if we are wishing him a happy birthday from 1795. So hats off to you, James. Max Beerbohm, Frank Craven, Nita Harrigan Logan, Durwood Kirby, Stephen Fry, and Jessica Bovers. And sadly, I lost my paper with the local people. So all my local Austin folks, bon anniversaire. All right. Well, we're going to go out really quickly listening to some more songs about money. This I chose, since The Scandal is coming back, I chose some Crazy Melly, one Bellamy Young, back in a great musical called The Life.
What they mean by easy money.
We are back. How about that Bellamy, man? She has a nice little voice on her, right?
Yeah, she does.
First of all, that role Melly is some crazy awesome. Just
don't get past Lilias White singing, "I'm getting too old."
Yeah. The music from The Life
is wonderful.
I'm surprised it hasn't been revived or people don't use it more in cabarets, because it is just some...
I'm surprised it didn't sell better. I mean, stories about prostitutes.
Well, I was about to say, it's the same problem. It's the same problem with Sideshow. Probably one of the most beautiful and brilliantly written musicals. But when you look at someone and you're like, "Oh, do you want to go see Sideshow?" And they're
what's
like,
it
well,
about?
"What's it about?" Siamese twins. No. And they're look at you like, "No." Which... there's so much more to what the show's about.
Do you want to go see The Life? What's it about?
Prostitutes. It's, you know what I mean? Somehow, you know, I guess it works with The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, because everybody's got Burt Reynolds and Dolly on their mind.
Yep.
Oh, I have Dolly on my mind. She's been on her media tour and on TV all day today. I love
she's
me some Dolly.
She's never off.
She's writing a Broadway musical about her life. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, yes, I did. Yes,
started
I did.
Writing
yeah.
it earlier this year. So it's going to take her about 2 years to write. But Dolly's writing it. And let me tell you, Mama will be there.
Oh, yeah.
Woo!
Oh,
yeah. So we're digressing. Let's talk to our guest. How you doing? So, hello, Mark Pickell, Chase Brewer. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. So I'm kind of excited that you are doing, that you were here, A, to talk to us, but B, that it's this show specifically. This is pretty hot and fresh off The Great White Way. And this is the regional premiere.
It is.
For this yeah. bad boy. You got it before the alley did.
Scooped him.
You yeah. scooped the alley. I know.
How did that happen?
Well, that Michael Hoinski wrote in Texas Monthly this week all about it being the regional premiere at the Alley, and I was like, "Mr. Michael, no, no, capital T, buddy, capital T.
Throwing some shade."
So, so he's laughing at me right now. But Michael, you could call in right now at 512-472-5667, and you could tell us if we're right or wrong. And become a member and a sustainer at the same time.
Just give some money so we won't continue to drag you through the dirt.
Yes, we need to hear from you right now. We've had one donor on the show. But the
you know, it's ironic that our t-shirt it has the radio for people who color outside the lines, because I can definitely say you're the perfect guest to be on with that, because I'm going to say the folks in Hand to God color outside the lines. So why don't you, who wants to give us a little nickel dime tour and kind of tell our listeners a little bit about what this show is?
I'll take the lead, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, so Hand to God takes place in a basement in Cypress, in a church in Cypress, Texas, and it follows this young boy who... whose puppet may or may not be possessed by the devil. And it causes a lot of issues amongst everyone in the basement with him. So it's a lot of fun. It's a really funny play. And it's I think it's intellectual too. It has some nice, you know, thoughts and ideas and themes that it kind of mm-hmm. deals with. And it doesn't really touch on religion as much as you might think.
No, and it's funny. And I remember when it was in New York that everyone really thought like it touched on religion. And then the reviews and interviews came out and they're like, yeah, not mm-hmm.
so Mark,
so
Mark
much.
As the artistic director of Capital T Theater, what drew you to this piece as part of your season?
Well, I identified it a long time ago, like when it was running off Broadway, mm-hmm. and I saw the reviews, and then I asked the playwright for a copy, and I love read it and immediately loved it, mm-hmm. And wanted to produce it. And I couldn't get the rights. And I was like, why can't I get the rights? And then it goes to Broadway. Yep. Bob Saget's in it. I'm waiting for it to close on Broadway to get the rights. And that was a whole nother ordeal.
But, so you've been invested in this. What are some of your favorite parts about it?
I think the Southern themes, I think, always play well here in Austin. Some of our biggest hits were like Killer Joe, mm-hmm. Bug, Exit Pursued by a Bear. Plays that I think the community here can really identify with, I think brings people out and they see it and they're like, oh yeah, country church, you know, that looks fun. I like kind of messy plays too that kind of deal with...
I like that you said that. I like messy, yeah.
Well, like both literally, I think, like on stage.
No,
I'm not afraid to break some glass or throw some blood around whatever.
So is Rebecca in your future?
I'll make sure
that you don't have the same publicist. I do PR, I don't write anonymous notes.
so would audiences come to this, if they're sitting at home on a Friday going like, oh, I want to see something... Melvin, do we want to watch Netflix? You want a comedy or a drama? What, like, tell me what audiences would expect from this piece.
Yeah, I mean, I also, like, one thing that I look when I program is I like dark comedies and, you know, ones that can make you laugh but also can make you think or make you feel something. And so it's definitely a comedy. I would place it more in the comedy area, but yeah. It deals with some pretty significant themes also, just like communication and sexual repression and all
that.
What was,
there was one quote they used in New York, I think it was from the Times, that was hilarious, that was something like Exorcist meets
Sesame Street.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? That's a really good explanation.
Yeah. Chase, did you know the piece before you auditioned, or is this something, a piece that was fresh to you?
This was brand new to me, yeah. It was crazy. I didn't get into reading anything from it until we were in the cold reads. Yeah. So that was my first, was sitting down with it when the cold reads. It was very difficult, but it was awesome.
Did you know you were going to have to be in touch with the puppet as much as you thought?
No, but
and
we're
yourself?
So close now. Like, yeah, the puppet and I are best friends. I take him home with me every night, so we can rehearse.
Do you walk through the store talking to your... I mean, do you have a similar puppet to what they use in New York? It's kind of like a sock looking...
This one's more...
Our design's a little different, actually.
You do
it
different.
Feels like
okay.
Avenue Q, kind of. Yeah, more stylistically towards Avenue Q.
A rudimentary Muppet-looking
Muppety kind of.
It's a little bit more Muppety.
But yeah, we're very close. I have not taken him to the store with me yet, but yes, he has made a couple of appearances at the sunroof of my car late at night whenever I'm at a red light just to say hello to the other passengers. So.
Chase, also, like, I could only imagine the challenges of being an actor. I mean, I've had plenty of co-stars who might as well have been puppets, but what is it like to actually work and collaborate with this your scene partner a lot of the times as this puppet? Talk a little bit about that process.
I mean, it really is another actor, but it's you. Yeah. I find that fascinating.
Talk a little bit
about
that.
Well, he's terrible with his lines. I will say that about him. He's not very good with his lines, but that's probably just because of me.
Do you give him notes?
I'm sorry?
Do you give him notes?
Oh, yeah. He gets notes. Yeah, I've got
two
separate...
Does he give you notes?
Huh?
Does he give you
he
notes?
He does give me notes. It gets a little upsetting whenever he gives me notes.
It's interesting, too. This is the first, and I just realized it. When I started giving notes, I would have notes for Tyrone, and which is the puppet, the possessed puppet, and notes for Jason, which Chase plays Jason. And I would, you know, this is a note for Tyrone. Tyrone needs to do this. Yep. He needs to react at this moment. This is a note for Jason. You need to react when Tyrone says this.
I'd say you're doing your job if you got two sets of notes there, Mr. Brewer.
Does that? What are some of the challenges that come along with that?
Oh, man. It's the hardest part, I think, is getting some of the reactions in at the right place, just because it's you reacting to yourself, and some of it's got to be so split second that it's difficult to do it in the right order. But I'm getting there. I think I got it now. I'm feeling good. Yeah.
You've been open for two weeks now?
This is a week. We're coming into our second week.
You're coming in. I was about to say, it's almost 2 weeks now. Yeah. So how have audiences reacted?
Very positively. They've loved it so far. We've had awesome, our three shows and then our opening night previews were all very, very well received. So very excited.
Because this has to be
run.
One of those shows that really feels different in rehearsal versus during. This has to be one that's You need that feedback and talking.
Chase, I'm just curious. I'm not causing trouble between you and your castmates. But are your castmates jealous that you have a puppet and they don't?
Oh, no, they all get puppets. I think everybody in the cast has a puppet.
There you go. Pastor Greg.
Yeah, except for Pastor Greg. So, yes, Pastor Greg's probably...
Rebecca didn't share she had a puppet. You know what? Why don't you tell us about... You have an awesome cast, so you want to let us know about the folks in your cast?
Rebecca Robinson, she plays my mom, Marjorie, and she is a single mother who is kind of having to take over this teenage puppet club youth group on her own. And then Teresa Baldwin. Teresa plays kind of my nerdy love interest. She's kind of like the dorky girl who's she's obsessed with Balinese shadow puppetry, so she says in the script, and she's perfect at everything. And then Brad Rothwell, he plays Timmy, who is like the troubled soul of the church youth group, who's kind of my bully and
the horny troubled soul.
Yeah, one of the sexually repressed troubled souls of the group.
Hold on 1 second.
We're in the money. We're in the money.
Sorry. We were talking about Leroy.
The spirit hits you.
Yeah. Well, it was so funny, you know, it happened. It's membership drive. Those girls, they just pop out with their tap shoes every once in a while.
So do you have any audience members who come and have no idea what they're getting themselves into? And then talk a little bit about that.
Because this has to be a show that's like, you could go in thinking one thing
and
really come out thinking something else.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if we have had anybody like that yet, have we?
I don't know. I think that people... The cool thing about the show is that it's kind of a known commodity in that it was on Broadway, and so people at least know the title, and a lot of people know the premise. And then, of course, there was a story where, you know, people plugged their phone into the set on
there
Broadway.
There was. That
added a lot of, I think, you know, just notoriety.
He was on stage for a long time trying to plug his phone on the set before anyone came out and said, that's a set.
We have one of our doors.
Did you put a plug labeled purposely on this?
We do. Yeah, okay. We have a couple on each side.
Of course you do.
But there's one that... One of the doors says restroom, and actually we've had patrons try to use the restroom on stage.
Really?
Really, yeah. Wow. I think that's kind of interesting.
Because
you've ever been to Hyde Park Theater, you know, the restroom situation's not normal.
Well, you know, it was a little... They did have their last show. Everything was kind of backwards in there. Maybe
some about
people
hand to God makes
off.
People either want to use the restroom or charge
stage.
Their device.
So one doesn't know the content. One knows, okay, it's kind of about this, and this. Is there an age range? Would you say PG-13? Probably for this.
At the very least, yeah, I would say.
NC-17.
I don't know if it's
in between.
R,
we need an in-between rating between PG-13.
Bring your developed teen. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I had my 17-year-old godson living with me for the summer, and I will tell you, the stuff that he watched made me blush. I was like, I don't want to sit next to you and watch that.
That's why I feel like there needs to be an in-between.
So your well-developed teenager could enjoy
it too. Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Yeah, and there's no... I think Captee just in general, I stopped kind of putting warnings on things anymore. It's just kind of like our flavor.
Well, it's not so much as a warning as someone going, well, I'm not quite sure what's this for. So,
well, I'm new to Austin, and so I'm happy to learn about Captee and know that you guys are doing cool work like this. That's exciting.
You do really cool work, and you have a really great relationship with Ken and with the Hyde Park Theater.
Yeah,
you guys are like... There. Bosom buddies.
That's good roles for
Who's
us. We could do that.
Oh my gosh, I'm totally ready.
Totally
yes. Beer. Hello. So you just opened this weekend. Houses are doing really, really well.
Yeah.
You are open until the 14th?
September 17th.
And go ahead.
I just want to hop in. Chase forgot to mention, I don't want any hurt feelings, but Kenneth Wayne Bradley's also in the show.
Yes.
If anybody would get kind of butthurt about it, it might be Ken.
You're going to go back and Kenny Wayne is going to have done something to your dressing room station.
And he usually plays kind of our menacing...
He's a very maniacal laugh.
Yeah,
like,
he's like, he's kind of... He always plays heavies, but... In this, he's playing Pastor Greg, and I think he's awesome. He plays a very different side.
Well, I have
about.
To say,
so
the
good.
Reviews and notices and all the buzz and everything I've heard about it is really good. So when Rebecca and I were chatting and we knew there was a chance for you guys to come on, I was super, super, super excited.
Very happy to be here.
So if more people wanted to get information, we're about out of time, sadly. Where would they go?
CapitalT.org.
CapitalT.org. Thank you guys so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. That was Mark Pakel and Chase Brewer with Hand to God at Capital T Theater, running now through September 17th at Hyde Park Theater. For more information, you may visit CapitalT.org. And speaking of puppets, they like to sing about money too.
Give me a quarter. Oh, I don't have any change. Okay. Give me a dollar.
Nick, thanks for standing in with me this week. Lisa will be back. We're going to stand by for Austin Monitor News. We'll be backstage next week. Charlie, we're going to talk more about Membership Drive. But if they were quickly looking for a pen and were saying, I want that number right now, what would that number be?
That would be 512-472-5667. Help us color outside of the lines. Give us more colors and give us a bigger palette. All you have to do is give us a call.
Well, this is a man that Nick and I love to talk about all the time. It seems so cliche. How could I not do it? But this man definitely colors outside the line. Here's one Alan Cumming with a little bit of money.
Money makes the world go around of that we can be sure. I'm being poor.